A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, so that as I have loved you, so you should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The good news of Jesus according to John.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't have a new career in singing. There are two themes present in today's readings. The first is about dealing with the hardships and sufferings of this world. The second is about visualizing and having faith in a better world, building a new kingdom. We are instructed to persevere in living a good life and not to lose our faith or hope in a better way. The reading from the book of Acts says it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Are the hardships a necessary part of faith? Do you need to actively seek them out, or is enduring them and dealing with them sufficient? I was never fully able to comprehend the early saints who actively harmed themselves by mortification of the flesh in their search for God, and I felt uncomfortable with many of the stories. But I do understand the concept of developing strength and understanding through suffering, and it seems to me there is plenty of that available in the normal course of events. For example, Paul and Barnabas were covering hundreds of miles on foot through the mountains of Turkey to deliver God's message of love. They had to carry whatever they needed on their backs. You carried water, or you had to find it. You carried food, or you had to find it. And don't forget, they didn't have ice and coolers to keep things fresh and unspoiled. And they did this because you didn't know if you would find hospitality readily. Where would you sleep each night? No Motel 6 is leaving the light on for you. I tried to make a rough estimate of this distance they traveled on this one mission of outreach. As the crow flies, if they could go in a straight line, still, they walked over 300 miles. Turkey is mountainous, so it was probably a lot closer to 400 miles or more. Lots of traveling, which in those days was very difficult. It was all on foot, in exposed conditions. After that, they sailed back to Antioch, which was another 300 miles. Remember the reading from John, "In the new heaven and earth, the sea was no more." That was because, according to the ancients, storms at sea were thought to be caused by evil monsters. Hence, the sea stood for threat and peril. To give you an idea of their trip, first you must walk from Dayton to Buffalo, New York. And then you get on a little boat, maybe 60 feet long, rowing and sailing from Buffalo to Toledo to report back on your mission. Over the course of his mission work, Paul was shipwrecked three times, as he mentions in 2 Corinthians 11:25. Despite the hardship, Paul and Barnabas traveled to reach out to the Gentiles because God's message of love was for everyone. Revelation says God's dwelling is with the human race. It tells us he will always be with us and we are his. He comforts us until the old order passes away. But God won't be reaching down with a magic handkerchief to wipe away our tears and comfort us here and now. We are his agent. We are his hands and arms and feet and voice. It is up to us to build God's kingdom. We are to build the New Jerusalem. It's not going to drop down from heaven fully complete with all the work finished. The many wonderful people who live their lives in service to others are an inspiring example of what God wishes from us. Sister Dorothy Stang worked with poor farmers and indigenous people in Brazil to improve their lives and to protect the environment from the rich and the loggers. The medical people and caregivers who struggled to provide for COVID patients. And before them, the friends, allies, and medical personnel who offered care and support through the AIDS scourge. Those who worked to provide food for the hungry here at home through food banks and abroad through aid services. People staffing agencies to understand, help, and assist the unhoused. Our community plays a small part in this work through the New Homeowners Initiative and in our support for City Heart. Of these multitudes of people, some are volunteers, and for others, it is their job. But their focus is consistently in outreach to the poor, misunderstood, suffering, and marginalized. Love doesn't have to be organized either. It can be taking a meal to a neighbor who is sick, visiting someone with no family who is confined to a nursing home, mowing the lawn for a neighbor who is no longer able to do it, or taking somebody to a doctor's appointment. Just listening to somebody who is grieving, depressed, or worried. None of those actions are beyond our capabilities. Doing any of these things would never rise to the level of suffering. At worst, they may be an inconvenience. In the gospel, Jesus tells the disciples he is giving them a new commandment. They and we are to love each other as he loves us. That is how we are known to be his followers, by how we love. In four lines, the word love is used four times. This is how the New Jerusalem will be built. The past few months, our community has been struggling with the changes occurring in our country. In speaking with a friend recently, I said it's like we are suffering from PTSD. The pain, the shock, the feeling of sadness and almost hopelessness have been obvious at our Sunday services. The post-homiletic comments have been filled with feelings of loss, fear, anger, and insecurity. Our prayer requests reflect the effects of those changes on our families, communities, and hearts. The after-service brunch conversations have been dominated by our concerns for the future. So, how are we handling these difficulties? What are we doing? How are we reaching out to those around us, helping them through this hard time? Where is our path forward? Jesus called us to service. He called us to persevere. Early believers were called followers of the way. A way is a path, and a path can quickly become useless. Without frequent use, it becomes overgrown and eventually impassable. We must each find our path and make our way through the difficulties we encounter. We must find the way that leads us to building our relationships with God and each other. That path will be built by loving others as we love ourselves and as God loves us. As Jesus told his followers, "This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Are we doing more than just feel-good acts? Are we striving to truly bring about a new, just order? Are we actively building the city of God? Jesus told us how it is to be achieved when he gave us his new commandment. Once again, love one another as he loves us. His love was shown in the little acts of caring, but he also showed his love when he spoke to power on behalf of others. He fed the multitudes who hungered, but he also called out those who oppressed them while storing up treasure for themselves. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." We are being called to service. We are being called to persevere. It isn't always easy to respond. Paul and Barnabas probably never pictured tramping through the mountains of Turkey to deliver a message to the Gentiles, particularly Paul. Paul was formerly a Pharisee and known as Saul. He was a very strict, observant Jew. Acts chapter 7, 58 through 60 relates the story how Stephen was stoned to death for blasphemy, for criticizing Jewish authorities and their practices, and for claiming that God did not dwell in temples made by human hands. When this punishment was carried out, the witnesses laid their cloaks at the feet of Saul. The next words following in chapter 8 are, "And Saul approved of their killing him." This same Saul, now known as Paul, became a man making a journey of love and outreach to the Gentiles. Dorothy Stang, as a young novice, most likely didn't imagine herself in South America reading scripture while facing men who would murder her. Yet she found her path of service and followed it with a loving heart. Persevering for almost 40 years, she brought help, support where it was needed, and through a devoted life of service, demonstrated God's love for the poor and oppressed. She advocated for their rights, seeking to protect them from those who would exploit their vulnerability. While not every path is so difficult, we must find the way that we are called to walk through this life. For 2,000 years and continuing today, God calls us to live a life of service and love. Nothing has changed over all those years, and it won't change going forward. Over and over, today's readings tell us what we need to learn. John tells us that the former heaven and earth will pass away and all peril will be no more. God will always be with us and the New Jerusalem will come to be. Jesus taught us that our love and service to one another demonstrates the love of God for all the world. Paul and Barnabas showed us what it means to live for others. What are we doing with our lives and with the others around us to bring the kingdom of God to reality? Please share your thoughts.